Good morning, good morning. It's one of those historic days. It's one of those days that they'll look back when they're doing the year that was and they'll say today was the day that Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un actually signed a joint document at a summit in Singapore. Now, indeed, it's been hailed by President Trump as better than anyone expected. And of course, he includes a lot of verys whenever he speaks about things like these. It's almost unbelievable when you think about the recent history. I'll speak to an expert, Dr. Alexander Titov from Queen's University, in just a moment.
So we're signing a very important document, a pretty comprehensive document, and we've had a really great term together, a great relationship, and we'll discuss this at great length. In the meantime, I believe that they'll be handing it out on behalf of Chairman Kim and myself. And we're both very honored to sign the document. Thank you. Would you like to say something to the press?
우리는 오늘 역사적인 이 만남에서 지난 과거를 덮고 새로운 출발을 알리는 그 역사적인 문건에 서명을 하게 됩니다.
Today, we had a historic meeting and decided to leave the past behind, and we are about to sign a historic document.
세상은 아마 중대한 변화를 보게 될 것입니다.
The world will see a major change.
오늘과 같은 이런 자리를 위해서 노력해 주신 트럼프 대통령께 사의를 표합니다.
I would like to express my gratitude to President Trump to make this meeting happen.
감사합니다.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll see you a little bit later. And we're very proud of what took place today. I think our whole relationship with North Korea and the Korean Peninsula is it's going to be a very much different situation than it has in the past. We both want to do something. We both are going to do something. And we have developed a very special bond. So people are going to be very impressed. People are going to be very happy. And we're going to take care of a very big and very dangerous problem for the world. And I want to thank Chairman Kim. Spent a lot of time together today, very intensive time. And I would actually say that it worked out for both of us far better than anybody could have expected. I think far better. I watched the various news reports. I would say far better than anybody even predicted. And this is going to lead to more and more and more. And it's an honor to be with you. Very great honor. Thank you. Thank you to all of your representatives very much.
Donald Trump and Chairman Kim. It is hard to believe. It, you know, if it was in a movie, you wouldn't believe it because things have progressed so quickly. But the big question is, have they actually progressed? That is the million-dollar question. Like, it's only months ago he was calling this man Rocket Man, and now he's talking about developing this great bond between them. Like, a bond is something that happens over years. It doesn't happen in a handshake in Singapore. But, however, let me speak to Dr. Alexander Titov, who's a lecturer from Queen's University School of History, Anthropology, Philosophy and Politics. Dr. Titov, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm maybe sounding a little bit cynical in the way I'm approaching this this morning. Should we be jumping for joy?
Not really. I don't think so. Well, I mean, as you said, it was a great piece of TV and a wonderful script for a movie. But so far, there hasn't really been any material change on the peninsula. And if you look at the actual agreements which they signed, which Donald Trump's thought deeply comprehensive, it's very short and very vague in general, which simply commits the North Korea to work towards the complete decolonization. It doesn't commit it towards giving up weapons. It's just committed towards working towards it, which means really not much at all.
So what do we need to see after this summit? What would the eyes of the world be on to convince those who would be much more cynical than me that there is some progress being made?
Well, I think basically they need, and I think they said it in the declaration, that there will be further meetings led by Pompeo, the Secretary of State Pompeo, and the North Korean officials. I think what's important to remember is that it has to be some sort of a compromise, so America will have to give something as well, particularly in terms of security. I think North Koreans will want, for example, withdrawal of American troops from the Korean Peninsula, from South Korea, and so forth. But I mean, remember that the most they spend decades and a lot of almost all of the money, and you know, there was kind of top priority for them to develop nuclear weapons. They're not going to give them up just because Donald Trump said. Particularly since he just cancelled Iran deal, which was signed by his predecessor. So I mean, there has to be some kind of guarantee that the next president of the United States is not going to cancel whatever Donald Trump is going to sign. So they. It's not an easy business.
The North Koreans must be getting something. There must be something on the table that is massive for North Korea.
Well, I mean, just meeting itself is a very massive thing because basically they were never been recognized officially by the United States. Now there's it's a first ever meeting between North Korean leader and United States leader. There's also been a lot of pressure on them economically from the United States, the United Nations, but also from China to move towards some sort of easing of tensions. So they will be getting that recognition. They will be getting some sort of path towards progress. But as I said, the fundamental issue of nuclear weapons being the most important guarantee of their survival, that's still there, and it's difficult to take it away because I mean the John Bolton, Trump's national security advisor, said. With deliberately or not, but he said that we want to do something that we did in Libya, and of course we know what happened to Libya when they were Gaddafi was murdered in a ditch, you know, a few years later after giving up his nuclear weapons. So they want to have a total guarantee that this is not going to happen to Kim. So so we'll see what that can be. I mean, it will be a very long process, a multi-step process, and. I'm not sure, you know, it will can be finished while Trump is still in power, really.
Is it unfair of us to be looking at the two individuals as opposed to the two countries and the two issues? Is it unfair to be seeing people, Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, who are both egotists with capital tists, if you follow my drift?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's basically is. I think it's a very fair point. But basically, that no other American president ever wanted to meet North Korean leaders because that was kind of the ultimate step they could make. Donald Trump kind of reversed the tables and sort of went for it. In many ways, even printed a medal of the meeting. And so forth. So so this kind of symbolic personal aspect to that is probably is as important as the actual, even more probably more important than the actual things they say. Which, as I said, I mean, looking at the declaration, I'm looking at from White House release. It's exceptionally vague and general, and really doesn't commit anything to anybody apart from that they're gonna.
90-333-105 077-66-105-105. It is a historic day, as we've mentioned here on the program. Donald Trump and Kim Jong Un, they have signed this document. We've been listening indeed to Dr. Alexandra Titov from Queen's University speaking about it. I want now indeed to find out a little bit more, and I want to go and speak to Tom Cheshire, who is from Sky News. He is indeed the Sky News Asia correspondent, and he's available to speak to us. Tom, good morning. What do you make of it at this present moment in time?
Well, it's certainly a historic occasion. I mean, when you saw the US flag and the North Korean flag side by side, very much equal, and then Trump, President Donald Trump and Marshal Kim coming out and shaking hands, that was a huge, huge moment, something we never see, the sitting leaders of the US and North Korea going and meeting one another. And it seemed like they got on like a house on fire. Trump had famously said before the meeting, he'd know within a minute whether Kim was serious about denuclearization. And they had a chat for that minute, and Trump was all smiles, and they seemed like it was going very, very well indeed. And the question then became, well, what are they actually going to sign? Trump giving a hint that he was going to sign something which people hadn't necessarily been expecting. He left it on a cliffhanger, maybe a hangover from his days hosting The Apprentice on American television. But then when it came to the actual signing of that document, it didn't seem to have much new in it. 4 points in there. The main one, really, that North Korea was committed to the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. That's not new in itself. That's what Kim had previously committed to when he met South Korean President Moon Jae-in in April, at the end of April. So there's nothing particularly new there. So I think critics of Donald Trump will say, well, you've given, you know, a huge stage to the North Korean leader. You've made him look like a legitimate leader, someone who has imprisoned hundreds of thousands of his own people at home, whose regime is murderous, has probably the worst human rights record in the world. And you've given him a meeting with the U.S. president in return for not a lot. Others would say, well, you know, not long ago, we were on the brink of nuclear war. And this ceremony, this pomp, it encourages Kim to go further down the diplomatic route rather than saber-rattling. So they both said this is the start of a process. I don't think anyone was expecting, you know, complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization agreement on that today. And the question is now whether they can take that momentum that's been established and actually turn that into something concrete and deliverable that actually, you know, goes just beyond the platitudes we've seen today. But those platitudes are important.
Will he ever get to a point, Trump, or even is he interested in getting to a point where he may be able to address human rights issues in that part of the world?
Well, we know that Donald Trump maybe isn't that interested in the topic by himself. He seems to have an inherent sort of affinity for the strongmen of the world. I mean, you saw what happened at the G7 summit where he fell out with sort of most of the liberal democracies in the developed world, people who do care about human rights. And he seems to like people who are less keen on that. He's giving a press conference right now where he mentioned the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, singled him out. Of course, China doesn't have a great record on this topic, too. So I think human rights is probably really low down his list, to be frank. He does want the win, though. What he's done today is have this big pageant, but he hasn't been able to come away with it and say, like, here's what I've done on the table. So if he wants to maintain his credibility over the course of his presidency, and if he gets a second term of that, continuing that presidency, he'll have to keep delivering on the North Korean front. So he's put himself under a little bit of pressure now. He probably just can't walk away and ignore the issue because there is so much attention on this issue. And he's courted that attention in a way maybe to distract from his domestic travails, things that aren't going so well at home. He said, look at this, Grant, I'm the deal maker, I can do this stuff. He hasn't really got that deal yet, so perhaps he'll be invested in it. But it's hard to see human rights becoming one of the topics he wants to raise when he's really focused on getting some movement on the nuclear program.
Tom, really appreciate your time. Thank you very much indeed. Tom Cheshire from Sky News, who is the Sky News Asia correspondent.